Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cleo, Thursday evenings live at 7:30 p.m. Real talk for those who live outside the Matrix. Call me now and join the conversation at 347-826-9597 or hail me up on Twitter at Real Miss Cleo or visit me at conversationswithcleo.com. Become a part of the economic evolution. Red or blue? You decide, star.
Good evening, everyone. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, right? I think I covered all of the proper anecdotes and whatnot. I hope everybody is having a lovely day, having a safe day. And I thank all of you who have stepped away from the table or from the buffet. And have finished licking your fingers for joining me this evening. The evening is dedicated to something that is still legal last time I checked, while they may be checking us, freedom of expression. And so I thought, what better a way to deal with so many emotions that are going on right now for so many of us around this planet. However, our focus will more than likely be about right here in our own backyards, and certainly that has a ripple effect. I am going to be celebrating poetry of all manner. We're going to take it old school. We're going to bring it current. Got some wonderful folks out there who are going to call in and share some rhymes with us. So I say thank you in advance to so many of you also that have been so generous in the Twitterverse and in the Facebook world and promoting the show. Mad love out to each and every one of you at Poetic Designs, at Black District, at Soul Sister _101. I hope you just call just to give a holla. Don't be shy. To LMB Poetry at Ann Howard 1. So much love right off the top. Now, I've got somebody on the line here, and they seem to be local because it's a 954 address. So we're going to go ahead. I'm going to pick you up right now and... Good evening. You are live with Conversations with Cleo. Happy holiday. How are you? Hello? Are you there? Do you want to talk to me? Hello, you're live. Can you hear me now? Hello? 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 All right, they've changed their mind. They don't want to talk to us. See, this is how you all know it's live. Well, perhaps they're just tuning in. Sometimes you have to call in from wherever you're at in order to tune into the show. So we're going to put them back on hold, and hopefully we'll check back with them and see how it's rolling. I perceive and I believe and I have experienced that poetry deserves its own dimension, because the poetry dimension is a very deep one. It is different than that of a lyricist or a songwriter. And the reason I say that they are different, one would not say that a sapphire and an emerald are the same creature. They both have hues of green and blue, but they are both magnificent in and of themselves. And poetry is extremely personal. And poetry can stand on its own without music, although it is always enhanced in so many different ways. It creates more layers. And I am so appreciative to anyone who reaches out today and shares their rhyme, shares their vibration with all of you who have been so gracious to tune in. So this is going to be very organic. I've got a playlist of some amazing things. We will be featuring Nikki Giovanni, to our students known as Professor Giovanni. We will be featuring one of my true heroes, Mr. Gil Scott Herring. We will be hopefully featuring some local poets and poets around this country. Also, we will be debuting a studio mix right now that I am featured on. with a friend by the name of Jacques Edier. And he is definitely a throwback from the 60s. And he is a true acoustical guitar player, and he plays from heart. And we have been working on this track for some time. However, everything in its time, it seems to be most apropos. And I called him up and I held him up and I said, "Yo, Braidry, can we do an exclusive, you know, on Conversations with Cleo?" And he said, "Okay, now you have to explain that we're going to be dropping the finished mix, and then we're going to work on a house mix, but we'll be sharing that studio mix." So we'll be moving and vibing and rhyming. It's not all going to be about politics. Well, some of it will be. Some of it is just about life. And I am hoping that some of you poets that live in the poetry dimension out there take something away that is different from what you thought you knew, what you had been exposed to, and hopefully it takes you out of the matrix zone, because, you know, they're invading the poetry dimension, or they're trying to, you know. So we have to be true to self and know that the expression has to remain free. So given that, and someone who is still navigating the vibration, we are going to kick off our freedom of expression, an evening of poetry with, again, one of my heroes, and that is Nikki Giovanni. This is circa 1972-1973. Please enjoy it. If this is your first time, trust that it will not be your last. Ego Trippin' by Nikki Giovanni.
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built a Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine, perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle, so swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was 3, I gave my son Hannibal an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son Noah built new ark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Menantone, my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would save. I sold diamonds in my backyard. My bowels delivered uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned, and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal. I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
Now, I know if you all have not heard Ego Trippin', my dear, trust this. My girl said she went east to get west, and then she rounded off. You understand? Said Hannibal, her son, she gave him an elephant, and he gave her Rome for Mother's Day. Let me tell you something. When Professor Giovanni dropped that lick back in the day, boy, look here. And you see how the vibration of what she was saying, she took nothing away from anything. She just embraced that all of what she was and what we are and what we can be. And so the vibration was not always so political in just the politics. It was about the emotion. It was about finding and being and understanding self. So That's a track that I really enjoy. I can't go much further before I take a moment to give some love and a shout out to all of the poets that came out to the Solstice, sponsored and hosted by Power Underrated, which is DJ Thought and the one, the only, at Miss Crystal Chanel. And must give mad love, serious props to Irie Island Bistro. Look here, my dears, when me say, I can't tell you the last time I eat oxtail. Everybody can't make oxtail, you know. And last time I ate oxtail, I was back home. You understand? So when me sit down, my brethren, she came out with me and my partner. And she got the oxtail. It looks sweet, you see? Uh-oh. And I had already gotten the jerk pork, and it was very tasty, you understand? And the rice and peas are the sweetest rice and peas I'll know since me live. And my cousin Danny can't hear that, you know. I'll know since me live. That are the sweetest rice and peas. I don't know what that woman did to them. She gave nothing but love across that plate, you understand? Plantain, everybody can't make a plantain, you know? Don't get it twisted. People mash them up all the while. I said, my brethren, you get some cabbage. Cabbage look proper. Everything on the plate. You understand? Everything on the plate. If you see me, I was trying to sop up every lick. So the spot, the vibration was proper. The place was quite full. There was no room. People were standing. And the poets were amazing. Now, it was a female-focused showcase. However, there were brethren who were there who got up, and they were just as wicked as the sistren. One young man by the name Javi, and I should have his Twitter handle. My bad, somebody, my boss will hit it up on me. So he was there. So I have to give out mad love to all of those poets. Job well done, and it was a wonderful thing to come away from after having such an intense week. We have another caller on the line. It might be one of my brethren out there is coming to share some rhyme with us. So let's check in. We're bringing you onto the air. And we're going to give in good evening. Happy holiday. Happy 4th of July. Who is on the line? Oh, they went away. Rastafari. People are not get scared. Uh-oh. All right. So how am I know? I'm supposed to know? I'm supposed to bring you people on the line. Let's see. Are you?
Oh, everybody.
Hello.
Wow.
Hello. See, I don't think people know. I think people are just calling in. So I'm gonna try this one more time. I don't want nobody to cost me. If you're on the line, I'm bringing you live. Are you just? Hello, this is Cleo. Are you just listening? Okay, I can't hear you. If you can hear me. Okay. Don't you love Mercury retrograde? Again, this is what happens with live anything. You know, you kind of have to roll with it. So we're not going to have any stress, because I'm telling you, we're going to do it like they do it at Irie Island Bistro. When I tell you everything was Chris and Irie, my belly full, and I can't wait to get back. They are actually going to be our next small business of the week, and they deserve every bit of it. So again, mad love to the team at Power Underrated, that is at Miss Crystal Chanel and at DJ Thought and at Power Underrated. All mad love. Very, very nice to come out to. All right, my dears, check it out. The next lick we're getting ready to go to, so if you're one of my poets out there, you're going to call in and check in with me. And if you all decide you just want to listen, I understand, there is no pressure, because we are just going to listen to some amazing lyrics. We're going to listen to some amazing rhymes. And the fact that we're taking it old school out the gate is to recognize that even in these times that are the 21st century, we have rhymes that were written 40 years ago that are still relevant. We have rhymes out there that were written 100 years ago that are still so very, very relevant to the scheme of what is going on right now in each and every one of our worlds, and how it continues to touch so many of us. Actually, I'm going to hit you with something that's kind of intense, and there is a purpose for this. Actually, this is not going to be the long one. Like I said, we're gonna roll by the seat of our pants. As I'm going to play this one on Preempted, and when we come back from this track, we're going to get a little bit caught up on what's been happening with the Zimmerman trial. But I think that there is something very poignant being said, and without further ado, and in my world, he needs no introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the one, the only, Mr. Gil Scott-Heron.
A poem for Jose Campos Torres. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. I had confessed to myself all along, tracer of life, poetry, trends, that awareness, consciousness, poems that screamed of pain and the origins of pain and death had blanketed my tablets, and therefore my friends, brothers, sisters, in-laws, outlaws, and besides, they already knew. But Brother Torres, common ancient bloodline Brother Torres, is dead. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. I had said I wasn't going to write no more words down about people kicking us when we're down, about racist dogs that attack us and drive us down, drag us down and beat us down. But the dogs are in the street. The dogs are alive, and the terror in our hearts has scarcely diminished. It has scarcely brought us the comfort we suspected. The recognition of our terror and the screaming release of that recognition has not removed the certainty of that knowledge. How could it? Dogs, rabid, foaming with the energy of their brutish ignorance, stride the city streets like robot gunslingers and spread death as night lamps flash crude reflections from gun butts and police shields. I said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this, but the battlefield has oozed away from the stilted debates of semantics, beyond the questionable flexibility of primal screaming. The reality of our city, jungle streets and their gestapos has become an attack on home, life, family, and philosophy total. It is beyond the question of the advantages of didactic niggerisms. The motherfucking dogs are in the street. In Houston, maybe someone said Mexicans were the new niggers. In L.A., maybe someone said Chicanos were the new niggers. In Frisco, maybe someone said Orientals were the new niggers. Maybe in Philadelphia and North Carolina, they decided they didn't need no new niggers. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this, but the dogs are in the street. It's a turnaround world where things are all too quickly turned around. It was turned around so that right looked wrong. It was turned around so that up looked down. It was turned around so that those who marched in the street with Bibles and signs of peace became enemies of the state and risk to national security. So that those who questioned the operations of those in authority on the principles of justice, liberty, and equality became the vanguard of a communist attack. It became so you couldn't call a spade a motherfucking spade. Brother Torres is dead. The Wilmington 10 are still incarcerated. Ed Davis, Ronald Reagan, James Hunt, and Frank Rizzo are still alive. And the dogs are in the motherfucking street. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. I made a mistake.
Yo, man, look here. If you don't know him, I urge you to get out there and get to know him. This brethren that we lost last year. And when I say it was a loss, it genuinely, beyond words, I can get choked up because I'm so glad that he wasn't here to see what happened on June 26th, because Gil was at the foundation of the movement, of the revolution, you understand? Those of you out there who are young, if I say the revolution will not be televised, then you know the track. You may not know who did it, and you may not know how complex and intense this man was. And the fact that, again, something written 40 years ago is still relevant right now. You understand? But back then, you were a communist. You were not a terrorist. It was still an IST. It was still an IST at the end. You understand? But you were a communist back then. You understand? And you were a threat to national security. All of those things were very real. You understand? And the fact that we can listen to something like that and it can touch you in your soul and this past week there was a big issue once again about the cracker and the nigger and maybe this, that, and the other. And then there was supposed to be a show on CNN all about the N-word, and it started to take on once again this life of its own. And but Gil says it right here. He says, you know, maybe they're looking for some new niggas. Maybe the Orientals are the new niggas. You understand? It's just a word that the people in power like to use to subjugate anyone else. And they're using it improperly because then they need to be using it on themselves. And what has happened is quite interesting because racism in this country has been relegated to one motherfucking word. Really? That's an awful lot of power, man, to give to one word. And I don't know that I so much think that that's the way the young people think, but there are enough of us old enough. We don't think like that, and the word still has an awful lot of power. You understand? And people want to debate the use of the word. And the youths continue to take power from the word because they'll call anybody that. And sometimes now it is a term of endearment. And for those of us who are old, we are still struggling with old mores and bad memories. But at some point in time, we have to get active and not buy in to the hype. You understand? We can't buy in to the hype. Hell, take the power from the motherfucking word, man. That's what you got to do. Can't nobody be frightened about that. You know, you got to keep it. You got to keep it sincere. You understand? I know we all use the word 100 real. How about sincere? You understand? We have to keep it sincere. I'm going to go ahead and move into a couple of commercials. Yeah, I'm going to take a look around on the playlist here and see where we can take this next vibration. So if you need to get up and go freshen that drink, or you need to go get some tea, or you maybe need to just go to the little girl's room, we're going to go ahead and give you an opportunity to do that. And we're going to send out some love to those four-legged pups.
Passion for Paws, a nonprofit with a new approach. They believe in assisting disabled, elderly, or family members in financial crisis to keep their canine family members within the home. Passion for Paws truly understands that our dogs are members of the family, and no one should ever have to make the difficult choice to let their canine family member go because of an unforeseen event or crisis. Ava Rose, Executive Director at Passion for Paws, is looking for volunteers, foster home, vet care services, and sponsors of pet food drives. She is a gentle and committed spirit with a passion for paws. You can visit her at www.passionforpaws.info. You will find all of the pertinent information, and there you can donate your time or your money. Once again, we thank you, and the dogs and canines that I know personally, thank you as well. Ozo 2, the future of dry cleaning. Eco-friendly, convenience-driven, and customer-conscious. Free pickup and delivery, biodegradable bags, and a hanger return program in order to keep their prices low. Stop by for a visit at any of their locations in West Palm Beach and now in Jupiter, or visit them at www.ozo2usa.com. That's ozo2usa.com. Or you can like them on Facebook as well. Thank you, Ozo2, for keeping the planet in mind. All right, my dears, I hope I didn't rush back too quickly, but look here, you're going to have an opportunity, no worries. Like I said, I don't know that it's going to be a lot of talking from me this evening in front of or behind any one particular track or poem or any of my poets who may call in. I want to keep the vibration moving. Now,
Those of you who may or may not know, it's not actually currently available anywhere. My first project, which was called Convicted for My Beliefs, and that title was inspired by Gil Scott-Heron, as well as the CD was dedicated to him at the time. And at that time, he was still in jail and had several health issues. He absolutely was able to get out of jail and toured for a short period of time. Actually, he crossed over during the middle of his tour, and his last CD was entitled I'm New Here. Some amazing wow. None of that will be played today because you all need to go out there and buy it. I mean, every piece that I am playing and featuring on the show today, if it is not mine or someone that I have permission to feature it, it is music that I have purchased. We are all artists out there. Nobody is trying to remain a starving artist. I've never understood the misuse of that title. But having said all of that, I will be playing some tracks. That first project was very political for me in its nature, and I definitely was aspiring to take myself to another level in the poetry dimension. Poetry, as well as many other forms of art, are healing. And sometimes to express your feelings with rhyme and rhythm and vibration, it heals the soul. It helps you maintain spiritual, emotional commitments, things that you might not speak to someone in an ordinary conversation, but you can convey it by painting a picture. And as I said, I have moved away from watching too much of the Zimmerman trial because my stomach starts to churn and it is dissettling to me at best. However, when Trayvon Martin was murdered, it hurt in such a way because it's happened so many times before. And years ago, after the LA riots, which I lived in Los Angeles at the time and moved immediately, almost immediately thereafter, because that was enough for me. Closest I had ever come to a war zone, and I never wanted to go back. However, I worked with my amazing engineer at Insane Sounds, Mark Carmack, and he's phenomenal, but this was our first project, and he did all of the effects and the background and engineered everything on the upcoming piece, which is dedicated to the memory of Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis, and so many other youth that we have lost far, far too early to overzealous fingers on triggers.
I made a promise to the memory of a young girl who changed my life forever. This piece is the fulfillment of that promise. No justice, no peace rang through the streets long before we heard of Rodney King. No justice, no peace rang through the streets long before we knew anything about Rodney King. A tragic manifestation of ignorance peppered with fear and racism. A woman with so much pain would have to ask, what have I done in my past? The price seems too high. First my daughter, and now my grandchild. Why her? What did she do? So young, only 15. No gangs, no drugs. My baby was an honor student. She said my baby was stealing. Thought she was in a gang. She said she was afraid for her life. But soon Jadu is the thief, because she stole my grandbaby's life. She never had a chance. She never saw it coming. No matter how you tell it, the video doesn't lie. It's a hard-known fact Latasha was walking away, headed for the door. And she shot my sweet Latasha in the back. The year Latasha was born, Soon Jadu left her home, headed west, toward the fabled land of milk and honey. and streets paved with gold. To live the American dream, raise her children, spoil her grandchildren, and quietly and graciously grow old. Best laid plans of mice and men, a sad and strange irony. Justice never served. Nobody wins. Voluntary manslaughter with a 10-year sentence in a California state prison. But Judge Joyce suspended it, replacing it with 5 years probation and 400 hours community service. Latasha's grandmother cried, "No justice, no peace." Jackson, Sharpton, and the mayor of Compton joined their voices and shouted, "No justice, no peace." All to no avail. The appeal was heard, but no change occurred. As for Judge Joyce, she was reelected in 93 with more than 50% of the vote, sending a clear message. Kill a black child. Go to trial. Get convicted. Let him go. 8 days later, the verdict came down. Not guilty. The LAPD 4 were going free. And the videotape didn't lie. It was clear they beat the shit out of Rodney King that night. And the country cried out, "No justice, no peace," from South Central to Oakland, Chicago to Detroit, Seattle to Miami. Voices rang out loud and clear, "No justice, no peace." Fire lit up the night. Black smoke colored the sky, blocked out the sun. The streets ran red, gunshots rang out overhead. And when daybreak came, they thought it would stop. But this went on for 3 days. The police retreated while the city burned, from South Central to Koreatown to Hollywood and Vine. The governor declared a state of emergency, imposed a 3 p.m. curfew, and called out the National Guard. The City of Angels was burning, and the politicians were running out of time. They called a press conference, hoping to change the tide, calculated, desperate, and contrived. "Can we all just get along?" is all Rodney could say. Everyone laughed at the weak attempt. Nothing changed, but they tried. Until men in camouflage with AK-47s rolling four deep, military Humvee. L.A. no longer resembled the city where angels lived, but more like the playground of Lucifer, littered with broken glass, burned out shells, a scarred and bloody vision of its former self. And Rodney got $3.8 million for his suffering and pain. LAPD-4 got a slap on the wrist, but no one remembers her name. Latasha Harlins, repeat it so you don't forget it. Remember her sacrifice. She gave her life. No choice of her own. Her sacrifice was not in vain. Or was it? No justice, no peace. But it's happened before, and it's not fair. It's not fair, they cried on June 23, 1982, when Vincent Chin died the day before his wedding. It's not fair, they screamed, when Vincent Chin was murdered, leaving his fiancée a widow before she became a wife. It's not fair, he murmured with his last speaking breath, before he slipped into a coma. Before he quietly slipped away, leaving his family to mourn his death. On June 19, 1982, in a burb of Motor City, the home of Chrysler and Ford, 4 days before the I do's, Vincent Chin had a bachelor party. Have some fun, make some noise, and throw back a few, waiting for the girl to jump out of the cake. Little did he know he was attending his own wake. In a mutated vision of true Americana, Ron Evans bashed in Vincent's skull with a Louisville slugger. And it was truly a family affair, but this was no game. Nitz, his unemployed stepson, was right there. Father and son pled guilty to manslaughter and received a slap on the hand, 3 years probation, and a $3,000 fine. Murder without punishment. Murder without conscience. Conviction without prison time. No justice on a local level. Somebody call up the feds. Clearly a violation of Vincent's civil rights. We're not going away. Not before we put up a fight. And much to this country's embarrassment and dismay, two trials later, a change of venue, Nitz and Abbott were acquitted of all charges, allowed to walk free, allowed to see another day. Lily Chin won a civil suit ordering Evans to pay $1.5 million to Chin's estate. But he was too slick, sold off all his shit and fled, allowed to hide free, allowed to live another day. Ignorance is a dangerous weapon, more lethal than a loaded gun. True, Evans delivered that fatal blow, but racism killed the Pan-Asian son. Japanese cars outselling American ones. Unemployed auto workers blame the Japanese or anyone who looked like one. A soon-to-be newlywed, his memory lives on in his mother's tears. But Vincent is dead. Economics and ignorance, a violent and unpredictable tear. It's not fair. But it's happening now, and it's not right. It's not right, they protested in 1999 when two young black men were killed on a South Florida highway. The weapon? An intoxicated FBI agent going the wrong way. 90 days in jail, dodging a 30-year sentence. White, black, or brown, this shit didn't make no sense. It's not right, they demanded in January 2006. As a boot camp nurse looked on while a young black boy is choked until his body went limp. All caught on tape. Lies were told, but the cover-up was blown. Seven former guards and one nurse have garnered the good old manslaughter charge. The politicians grimaced and frowned. This could be a problem. Their solution? Shut all the boot camps down. And from past experience, we all know manslaughter in a case like this is just murder in disguise. We'll have to wait for the trial to hear the new lies. It's not right, they cried November 2006, when a young black man lost his life before it began in a hail of 50 gunshots from undercover cops on the morning of his wedding day. It's not right, they shouted. When Sean Bell was gunned down, leaving his fiancée a widow before she became a wife. It was a bachelor party, just him and two friends, out to have some fun. But the police said they saw a gun, which was never found. Things went bad in the Big Apple on that fateful night, on that fatal night. We're not going away? Oh no, not without a fight. They marched on one police plaza, 1,000 voices strong. They marched on Fifth Avenue, 40,000 voices all shouting, "This shit is wrong!" 3 out of 5 cops indicted for the familiar manslaughter charge. First degree and second degree, respectively, so says the grand jury. Deja vu, I've been here before. Deja vu. Vincent Chen, 27. June 1982. Latasha Harlins, 14, March 1991. Maurice Williams, 23, and Craig Chambers, 19, 1999. Martin Anderson, 14, January 2006. Sean Bell, 23, November 2006. Remember their names. Tell their stories. Don't let time sweep them away. Don't let their sacrifices be in vain. A frightening deja vu. If we're not careful, we'll be reliving April 29th, 1992. And they all cried those words we've heard before. No justice, no peace, it's not fair, it's not right. We're not going away, not without a fight. Thus the chapter ends, and hopefully the lesson begins. History repeating.
Alrighty. Well, I get goosebumps, you know, because I lived it. And when I hear those things, it blows my hair back. All right, check it out. We got somebody on the line. Let's see if they're just tuning in or if they got something to share with us and in the way of a rhyme. Good evening and happy 4th of July. You're on with Conversations with Cleo.
Hello, Miss Cleo. This is Miss PD of PD Radio. How are you?
That's some good shit, Mommy. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful this evening. I enjoy what I just heard. I love it. I love it. I love it. And just overall, Miss Cleo, I just want you to know how much I love you, your spirit, your energy. It's just so lively, and everyone can just feed off your spirit. So just thank you for being who you are.
Oh,
it's
precious.
So needed in this universe.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate you. And I like I said, I sent you pictures of dinner. So now you have a
yes.
little bit more enticement, you know?
Oh,
because
yes,
we're
going to
try
already.
And get our poetic designs down here in Florida, and we're going to blow it up. We're going to make it real special,
oh, yes.
boy. We're going to take it live somewhere and get wicked.
Oh, yes. They're not ready, Miss Cleo. They are not ready. But I wanted to recite a very short piece for you.
I would love
if you don't
that.
Mind.
I would love that. No, please, by all means. What a treat.
I wrote this piece about 12 years ago. It is called Fallen Angel. And it's about something personal that I went through, but you know, here you go. It's called Fallen Angel.
Beautiful.
Once an angel falls and breaks her wings, will she no longer fly again? Can she repair her broken spirit and learn to trust again? Is she anything less than wholesome as you visioned her before? Because she broke her wings, is there love for her no more? Does it matter that she suffers and wants to pay the price for one bite of the forbidden fruit that forever changed her life? She came to realize as she lifts her head above that it is there and only there will she find forgiven love. Her broken wings begin to heal because she makes amends. A loving angel, as once before, prepares to fly again. That's
wow.
it. Fallen Angel wow. by Miss Peter.
That is beautiful. that
Thank
was some,
you.
That was some deep stuff because I could feel it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said poetry is so personal. Because you wouldn't
yes.
tell somebody, you're not going to tell everybody what you went through, but if they were listening,
mm-hmm.
I was listening, you take us on that emotional ride. And
mm-hmm.
that was really, I appreciate that, Mommy. Thank you for letting me in and everybody else is listening.
I
think that is amazing. Wow.
Well, I thank you for allowing me to come on to share that with you all. So thank you, Miss Cleo.
Now, I've heard a rumor, though, but you've got a new book
Uh-oh.
Coming out, right?
I'm sorry, I have what coming out?
You have a new book coming out?
Not a new book. I am working on a spoken word CD, though. I have a book already out that I wrote with three other women.
Yes, yes. Talk to me a moment about that. Please tell my listeners, because I think that's yummy.
Well, that book is it's a great book. I partnered up with three other women to write this book, and it's called The Sisters Fight, A Poetic Anthology of Awareness. It's about
wow.
cancer and bullying. And we chose those two topics because we all personally dealt with it in our lives in one way or another. So we basically, it's a book of poetry, and we all, you know, give our versions of our cancer and topic bullyings and what we've gone through with those subjects. And we are giving 30% of the proceeds to charity, one to a cancer charity. And which happens to be through LeVan Collins and Joe Groves, iVow Cure for Cancer. We are
yes,
giving
yes,
percentage,
yes.
yes, to that charity. And we also have a bullying charity that we are giving proceeds to. So it's a great book. You guys should pick it up. It's available on Amazon. Look for The Sister's Fight, A Poetic Anthology of Awareness. It's a great read. So, you know,
All
we
right,
put that
guys,
out
you heard that.
Late last
Absolutely.
Year. Yes.
No, I think that there are many women out there, many people. I mean,
mm-hmm.
bullying and cancer, and I've survived
right.
both of those too. So I think there are a lot of people who can connect, and we sometimes walk around. In particular, women, we for some reason
mm-hmm.
won't discuss with each other what our
that
experiences
is true.
Have been. And I don't know if we've been conditioned to think that it makes us weak if we do, but I have to say, to have something out there like that where you can go and mm-hmm. identify and look into. So I'm gonna get it because I didn't know that those were the two areas. I heard mm-hmm. about it. My bad. I thought it, but I also I'm old. Menopause. Wait till you get there. I had scrambled up.
I'm close.
I stood on the veranda earlier, so you know, short term memory. and I haven't eaten yet because I figured if my belly got full, I'd never stop. But I think it's so important for women to give women permission. Because we're not going to take it from anywhere else. And so I appreciate mm-hmm. you and the other two women that you did this book with, because I think perspectives, again, are also very important. We're not all the same woman, so we're going to see things differently. But
yes.
That's why I think poetry has its own dimension. It is history. It is mm-hmm. spiritual. It is educational. Mm-hmm. It is all of those elements. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, enough respect.
Poetry can be your best friend. Yeah.
No, wow. Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you for taking time out of your holiday evening. I love you so much.
All the love to you.
And I am counting the days. I don't care when it is. 48 hours. We have guest room. We have food. And as long as you don't mind my dog, life is lovely. And then we're going to go.
I love it. It's going to be soon, Miss Cleo. I promise you. It's going to be this year. Soon, within the next couple months. No. I would never do that. I have too much respect for you. I would never, never do that. It's going to be very soon. I look forward to spending time with you and learning from you and growing with you. I look forward to it.
Kid. We got to sit on the veranda and stare up at the stars and chat all manner of life. Yeah, wonderful thing.
Yes.
All
yes,
right, Mom.
Yes. Well, thank you for allowing me to come on tonight. I appreciate it. And I'm going to continue listening to the rest of the show.
Thank you, baby girl. I love you. Enjoy.
I love you. All right. Good night.
You all, that was at Poetic Designs. Please hit them up and please go and check out the book. We're going to make sure that we put the link up on Twitter. I'm talking to my boss. We're going to put it up on our Facebook. And it's Sisters Fight. Go and check it out. I am definitely, the focus is bullying and cancer from the perspective of three surviving, strong, victorious women who have moved forward on their journey. You have got to love the journey. So I really, again, am so appreciative of you calling in, sweetheart. That was delicious and very exciting. So we are going to take another quick pause for the cause and give some love out there to those small businesses that keep America going. When I want to do something nice for myself, I mean really nice, I head out to go buy my favorite cupcakes from the only bakery in South Florida that does it better than I do. Dolce Gourmet Cupcakes. CWC's 2013 Best Food Truck of the Year. Treat your palate as well as your heart. At Dolce Gourmet Cupcakes, it's all about the love. You can hit them up on Twitter at Dolce G Cupcakes to find out where they'll be next. I usually find them out at the Wellington Food Truck Invasion. Hey, tell them Cleo sends her love and save me a cupcake too. If you are one of those people who is open to alternative medicine and naturopathic healing, then I've got just the place for you. It is West Palm Beach Acupuncture. Dr. Henry Shao, Vice President of the Chinese Association of Acupuncture and a Chinese Tai Chi master with more than 30 years experience. Call Dr. Shao today or visit the office for a free consultation. Each session is $60. Do something nice for your health. He's located at 9100 Belvedere Road, Suite 110, West Palm Beach, Royal Palm Beach, Florida. 561-791-9970 or visit his website at www.westpalmbeachacupuncture.com. All right, my dears, welcome back. Once again, so much love to everybody out there, to Jazz Untamed and at all of my brethren at LDC Management for always having the sisters back, at Charles In Charge, mad love. I want to name everybody. Lord Jesus, I can't keep up. The whole Twitter feed is moving and I'm going to get dizzy. Check it out. We are going to take it old school again. And I am going to do a read from Nikki Giovanni's book entitled Bicycles. It is the sister anthology to Love Poems, all right? Wonderful book. If you are a fan of Nikki Giovanni, if you are not, get out there, get it. It's fabulous. Now, bearing in mind that poetry, there are many forms of poetry. There are also prose as well. So let's make sure that we don't try and put anything into a box. It is about the cadence. It is about the emotion. And clearly, as we can see from At Poetic Designs, that the book Sisters Fight, a book of poetry about heart and spirit and healing and so many things. So I'm going to get out there and next time we're going to see if we can get all three of the sisters on the radio show. We're going to put that out in the universe and start manifesting it right now. All right. This next piece, like I said, is by Nikki Giovanni, and it is called Free Huey. This is Free Huey as in the Black Panther Party. And this was written and dedicated to him by her. First there was the dream. Though Huey wouldn't have called it that, Huey would have called it a 10-point program, power to the people. But the people must dream if they are to use the power effectively. And to dream, you must rest, and to rest, you must be safe. So Huey called Bobby, called little Bobby, calling all men, all strong black men, all men who are weary of arrest, all men who are weary of disrespect, all men who are weary of dreams deferred, called them all to Sacramento in black leather jackets and black tams with stern black faces and shiny black guns. But the government didn't ask who are these dreamers? The government cringed before the mirror of its own conceit and goose-stepped up its lies. Neither lies nor bullets could bring this panther down. Huey said, let there be women equal in the struggle. And good work was done. Breakfast programs, schools, voter registrations, hospitals. A mayor elected, a governor confirmed, the arts and literature extolled, a newspaper with all the truth you need to grow, not all the news they want you to know, and the fear of the government could not be contained. Panthers, the government then declared, are now extinct, and they photographed Huey on the ground, a bullet now firmly lodged in the back of his head. A drug deal, the government said, gone bad. Another great government proclamation, right up there with the slaves are happy, the single bullet theory, and the people will welcome us with open arms. This righteous, visionary warrior who, too, had seen the mountaintop and heard the hosannas, Free Huey, stepped onto a passing cloud, ascending to his rightful place. Forever in our hearts. Mad love and respect to all of the Panthers who have come and gone. Understand that the Black Panther Party was an enormous game changer in that tattered piece of paper that we wave around calling the Constitution. Do your homework, don't believe me, but recognize that the whole concealed weapons laws were written in direct response to the fact that Bobby and Huey called all manner of black men, all manner of strong men, all manner of men who were weary, and called them to the front line and said, the Constitution says we have the right to bear arms. And no longer was the youth of America, the black youth of America, willing to sit idly by. And there were the breakfast programs, and there was Head Start, and there was also the opportunity for blood mobiles, you know, meaning the ones that come and take blood, but they would come to the underprivileged areas, to the areas where the population was 90% black, and they would test the children for a sickle cell. It was the Black Panther Party that got behind that. Up until that point in time, black children were dying at unprecedented numbers, and no one cared why. Now, as with many grassroots organizations, sometimes they lose their way. And we all know that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so it is a very sad day when you become the very thing that you were fighting. It is a very tough day when that is what is your reality. But all know there are many in the game, and nobody can be in a position to throw the first stone. Certainly people should not get it twisted and think that that is okay. As we continue to move through the evening, we are going to keep it rolling lovely. We are going to step into a new phase, and we are going to bring it forward here. And I'm going to give some shout out and give out some love to the LGBT community, because certainly they are inordinately skipping up and down the yellow brick road. Very, very happy, very, very jubilant. And certainly I am jubilant for them. I am a member of that community. And so I am happy that my brethren in the LGBT community have a right to marry and to be legal in their commitment. So this is out to them. This piece is very personal to me and my friends who are my family. In October 2006, I made the difficult decision to come out publicly, inspired by one of my teenage godsons. I am grateful, as is his mother, that he has the right to be who he is out in the open. But I am quick to remind him that this did not happen in a vacuum. Gay men and women of the past have made great sacrifices. Some even gave their life for him to have this opportunity. Currently, there is a movement afoot to alter Florida's constitution with an anti-gay marriage amendment. I have fought discrimination all of my life, and I won't stop now. As a black lesbian single mother, I know that I count, my vote counts. So I dedicate this piece to the memory of those who fought for my rights 40 years ago, and to those of us who are fighting now. Mad love to my brethren of Equality Florida, fairness for all families, and to all of you for showing me love. Since I can remember, I've been told who I can love. My mother told me to avoid black men at all costs, marry white, have mulatto babies with good hair and light eyes. But society said it was wrong. Why would she tell me that if she knew the truth all along? In short, this kind of marriage was against the law. Ask Richard and Mildred Loving. They were arrested, prosecuted, and convicted in 1959. A suspended sentence followed by exile. We'll look the other way this time. Sammy Davis Jr., the Candyman, was ostracized by his own community for marrying his Swedish wife. Frederick Douglass, chided and maligned in 1885 for making a Mayflower daughter his wife. Romeo and Juliet of the feuding Montagues and Capulets, innocent star-crossed lovers, quietly laid down and gave their life. And I halfway listened to my mother, but I'm sure she didn't understand when I brought home my first white girlfriend. She was not pleased and told me it was wrong. Now I was confused. She was white, but loving another woman, it's not right. It's against God's law. It's against the true nature of man, so stated Anita Bryant with her trademark glass of orange juice in her hand. Call your senator, write your congressman. Let's ban homosexual love throughout the land. But she and her overweight Bible belt failed, glad to say. But don't rest on your laurels. They'll be back for us another day. And that day has arrived. Anita is only a ridiculous memory, but her hate and misery is still strong and equally as vile. What has caused the tide to change?
the GLBT community is demanding the same rights as a husband and a wife, celebrating our unions, raising our children, contributing members of society, our heads held high for all to see, full of pride, self-respect, and dignity. Get used to it. It's so much more than a passing trend. But the moral majority is upset. Their panties are all in a bunch once again. Excuse me while I pull out my soapbox so you can get a clear view of my rainbow socks. I am lesbian, hear me roar. We will not retreat back into our closets for your comfort's sake. We will not close the door. We deserve the same rights, and you can best believe we're not going away, not that easy, not without a fight. I've got news for all the clergy, politicians, and lobbyists. That includes you too, Mr. Chris. We will not fail should you attempt to put our resolve to the test. We will not allow you to legislate our love, demean our commitment by changing the Constitution with a discriminating anti-gay marriage amendment. We will act up, voice out 1 million loud before we consent to put our lives, our loves, and our vision of tomorrow into your narrow-minded hands.
We're going to keep it rolling, my dears. This next one is one that I know is going to speak to you like it spoke to me so many years ago. And again, the man is relevant today. He was relevant then. Mr. Gil Scott-Heron, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with the Ghetto Code.
How's everybody? How's everybody doing? Everybody all right? I hope everybody's okay. The foundations are still strong. We are still strong. And anxious to see you. And glad that so many of you could come out and join us this evening to share vibrations with us. My name, of course, is Gil Scott-Heron. And my organization and my family is called the Midnight Band. And we are here this evening to bring you some midnight vibrations. We are convinced that midnight is the first minute of a new day. And we are further convinced that we are entitled to a new day. And we are further convinced that we are going to have to establish the new day by communicating a little bit more closely with one another. So we have been spreading the word about some vibes that concern communication from place to place, and we have been trying to get into the New York vibration as it concerns this communication. What we are talking about has evolved as the Ghetto Code. The Ghetto Code, oftentimes referred to as dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dash. Sounds a little bit, people used to tell me, said it sound like the Morse Code. We call it more so the Remorse Code. The Ghetto Code, the damn if I know. Dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dash means damn if I know. And the reason this has become such a popular phrase in different black communities around the nation is because there are more and more things black people thought they had a handle on that they have seen sort of slowly slip away from them. And they be saying, well, damn, what happened to that? Dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dash. I'm damn if I know. For example, we started to reinvestigate astrology, found out that it was an ancient art form, a science, something that we could depend on more so than Walter Concrete. And got into a vibration related to how the things were done in terms of astrology. Sun's over here, moon's over here. People started to memorize their charts, organize them, their days, their planning, their reaping, etc. Then they found out somebody had been messing with the calendar. Because there's a month in our calendar called July that was slipped in there to honor Julius Caesar. There's a month in our calendar called August that was slipped in there to honor Augustus Caesar. And there's a month in our calendar called September, which is the seventh month. It means seventh in Latin, but it is the ninth month in our calendar. People start saying, well, damn, dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dash. They found out October, involving themselves with the Romance languages. Octo means eight. Ocho, very similar to Ocho. October, the 10th month. Nove, or Nueve for nine. November, the 11th month. Dece, or Diez for 10. December, the 12th month. Dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dash. Damn, if I know. And I believe that the problem has originated right here in February. Nothing personal for those of you born in February, but there is something wrong with February. I have been watching February closely. And I have never quite been able to get a grasp on where February is coming from. Because it would seem that it takes at least 30 days for it to be a month. The precedent has been established by the other 11 months having all at least 30 days. February, you get 28, 3 years in a row. If you make it, you get a bonus. February 29th. Why don't they make that January 32nd? March 30th, it's because they know there's something wrong with February, and they're trying to even it out while everybody's looking. Dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dot. This is like if somebody was to give you 4 weeks and say, here, you have 4 weeks of your very own. You take them home, unwrap them, you find out one of the weeks only has 5 days. It's not that you have anything against that week. It's just that you know white folks ain't going to be no weekend. You're going to go home Friday night, get up the next day, Monday, you're going to have to go right back to work. You say, well, dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dot. I got shortchanged. I had a week, but it wasn't quite a week. Dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dot. The same thing happened to me in terms of looking at the alphabet. The alphabet was originally called the Alpha Beta, and it was supposed to contain all of the symbols, and that's important, all of the symbols from Alpha to Omega. Alpha was the beginning, Omega was the end. Alpha was the letter A, the beginning, Omega was the end, the letter Q. But R-S-T-U-V-W-X-Y-Z, they did not say that from Alpha to Omega was from beginning damn near to the end. They said from beginning to end. I took their word for it. The end was Omega, and that's Q, and they got all these extra letters, which means there may be some words out there that don't mean nothing. Somebody very soon may come up to you using the alphabet as it was originally intended from Alpha to Omega and say something like, Ikebadikebap. Dot, dot, diddy, dot, dot, dance. Damn if I know. I ain't got the papers. The letter I would like to go into with you very briefly is the letter C. It is one of my favorites. It's very underrated in terms of letters. You know, very few people sit around and comment on the virtues of the letter C. But it is the first letter in cash money. It is the first letter in Constitution. And it is the last letter in music. It is the first letter also in CIA. The CIA and the FBI, their noses pressed against our window pane, ears glued to our telephone. Why won't they leave us alone? Dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dash. Damn if I know. CIA and FBI, noses pressed against our window pane, ears glued to our telephone. Why won't they leave us alone trying to pick up on the ghetto code? Old-fashioned ghetto code, you remember, you used to jump on the telephone and say, hey, Bria's other me is Ann, how you feel is ill? Is everything all is all right? Well, why don't you tell me about this P.S. Art and Nia's Art? You going? Bria's Art on, why don't you bring me a Nia's Lick or Bia's Art? Yeah, if you get back to Steve's Art, why don't you bring me some Bia's Art and Bia's Art so I can Bia's Art over Nia's Art? I appreciate it. I know whoever it was they were paying to listen in on my phone had to be saying, well, dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dot. Damn if I know. The C that reminds you of CIA and cash money, they'll come together in a case that concerns itself with Howard Hughes. The CIA gave Howard Hughes $400 million cash money, give or take a million or two, we understand, and told Howard Hughes that he was to build a salvage ship. The salvage ship was going to be called the Glomar Challenger. And the Challenger was going to go out in the Pacific to try and recover a Russian submarine that sank in 1968. The reason our government was so interested in this submarine was because of the sea code books on board. We assumed that Howard Hughes indeed did build this ship and equipped it with a giant magnet. We would not assume that Howard would come back with a little bitty magnet for all that money. But the submarine that sank to the bottom of the Pacific had broken into three parts. The magnet went down, brought up the first part of the submarine, had on board 70 dead Russian sailors. Well, no real advantage there. I mean, it hadn't been worth a dime to the Russians. I mean, whatever it is, net ruples. They Whatever it is Russians say when that means they ain't putting up a dime. Which means that in certain instances we could see ourselves having been overextended. Magnum went down, brought the second part of the submarine, had on board two bombs, two warheads, two Polaris-type warheads, two nuclear weapons. Point is that this country already has plenty of bombs. Matter of fact, they have little bombs, big bombs, round ones, and square ones, and have been stockpiling them for quite some time to the point where they now have damn near one bomb for every individual. And if you don't like the way they're running things, then you call them up and tell them they may send you yours. Neutron, Ultron, whichever kind of tron, electron. The vibe related to the third part of the submarine and the important and mysterious Russian code books. But before the Magnet could go down to get the third part, somebody said, hey, wait a minute. You know, that Russian submarine went down in 1968. And we've been trying to pick it up now for the last 6 years. And everybody knows that when you lose your code books, you change your code. Which means that for $400 million, we had recovered 70 dead Russian sailors, two bombs we did not need, and perhaps Russian code books for codes the Russians weren't even using anymore. Somebody said, why in the world we spend all that money? Somebody else said, dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dot. Damn if I know. Cash money may not be what you need right through here. You might need some explanations related to other activities, like the sea might remind you of Cuba. The sea in Cuba and the reminiscence of that reminds us that the CIA undertook a very secret project toward Cuba called the Bay of Pigs invasion. The Bay of Pigs invasion was very much repelled, but it did reveal clues that had to do with assassination attempts on a man whose name starts with C, Castro. The sea might remind you of Chile. Over $8 million American dollars spent in Chile by the CIA to help overthrow a man named Salvador Allende, who just happened to be a C communist. The C might remind you of the canal. Say what? The canal. The canal? The Panama Canal? There seems to be some problem in dealing with the geography of the Panama Canal. It's not really that complicated. There's a little bit of Panama over here. Then there's some canal. Then there's a little bit more Panama over here. But the Panamanians do not control the canal. You could think of it as if Amtrak came through your crib. You would at least want to know the man who was punching the ticket and have a very tight relationship with him. The city that reminds you of the canal could remind you of a covert operation, headquarter, base, CIA, information related to C, Colombia, and assassination attempts and destruction attempts on a man whose name starts with C, Che Guevara. The C might remind you of the Congo. Say what? The Congo. The Congo? The C that reminds you of the Congo could remind you of how geography sometimes changes. Looking at the map of Africa today, where you see the word Zaire, you would at one time see Congo or Belgium Congo. Remembrances of this would remind you of a man who stood for African unity, a man named Patrice Lumumba. But somehow, Patrice Lumumba was assassinated during a mysterious C coup d'etat. Other things that haven't been solved and haven't been quite explained to anybody's satisfaction, like, was it Lee Harvey Oswald over there, or is it Lee Harvey Oswald over there? Was he 5 feet 8, 165 pounds, or was he 6'2", 205? Was he photographed with his passport in Dallas, or was that Moscow? Arthur Bremer, was he from Maine, Maryland, or Massachusetts? Was he captured in the Midwest or the Middle East? And if they always have a chance to photograph these people before they commit their crimes, why can't they stop them? Dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dot. Damn if I know. But other problems we would still like to see solved, like JFK, you believe all that? RFK, you believe that? MLK, you believe that? Malcolm X, you believe that? All of this was some great big old C coincidence, or just a little bitty C conspiracy? There are two questions that concern us very much about the letter C. The first one is the CIA. Who the hell runs that organization? The second one is, who runs this country? Dot, dot, did it, dot, dot, dash. Damn if I know. Brothers and sisters, thank you very much. The First Minute Experience, the Midnight Band. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I know y'all feeling that. I got goosebumps. You understand what I'm saying to you? Mr. Gil Scott-Heron, you can find that track easily enough on The Mind of Gil Scott-Heron. Dot, dot, diddy, dot, dot, dash, damn if I know. And trust me, I need to have that tattooed on my eyelids because that's all I'm saying these days. I've got a real patient person on the line with me getting ready to go to the lines right now and welcome someone. And we are trying to make that connection. And the little wheel is spinning. Good evening. You are live. Conversations with Cleo. Happy 4th.
Hey, what's going on, Miss Cleo? This is your man, Black. I had to call in. You know I had to call in, Miss Cleo. You know I had to call in. Starts in trouble. Uh-oh. Damn, that's right.
Let me tell you something, y'all. This is a yummy treat because next week, Thursday evening, a beat therapist, my boy Black at Black District, he's going to be hanging out with us. We're going to be talking about all manner of things. We're going to be breaking it down on the Sirius, on
That's
the 100.
Right.
And it's going to be a wild ride. How was your holiday so far, Precious?
It has been great, you know, just kicking back, relaxing, not, you know, committing to anything. So it's been a great day and just, you know, going at my own pace finally. You know what I mean? So,
I
you know, I'm loving it. How about yourself?
I am doing wonderful. I did my cooking earlier in the day. My girl has already had her dinner. She was real clear. She said, I'm going to eat.
I don't blame her. That's how you get down.
Right. So I said, all right, just leave me some. But no, life has been, I didn't commit to a whole lot of nothing either, sweetie. Just kind of
right. Loving
it and listening to all of this. I love poetry. You know, it is such a, and it's educational. I tell people, Gil was wordy. You understand? And people have to understand there's so much in there. And one of the greatest poems of all time is about 1,600 pages long, and it's in Spanish. But, I mean, poetry has no limitations. So any of you young poets out there, don't let them tell you that. If they don't have the attention span, tell them turn over this song. Tell them I told you.
Exactly.
Exactly. You gonna share something with us?
I got a little something, you know what I mean? I'm a big poetry fan, and I had to do it, so.
Do your thing, boss man.
Uh-oh, here we go. So I got a little something called Black Star, and, you know, just real quick, so I'm going to kick it for you guys, and I hope you enjoy. So here we go. Black Star. Sun to a black moon, seed of the sun. Where I'm from, see, opportunities are far and none, but on every corner you can find 40 ounces of despair for $1.25, never reading the fine print, survive. See, in my line of existence, shit happens. My insurance won't cover the liability of being black, so my policy reads limited respect. Nowadays, you can't even claim your own soul because that's just another way of keeping us in check. See, we've adopted his story from slave to nigger, Negro to African-American, the greatest form of terrorism when I just wanted to be black. They call it nationalism when I just wanted to burn, well, maybe not, but they started to burn flags secretly. So we boycotted, marched in for an eternity times destiny, participated in sit-ins because we didn't fit in. Now we spend more time getting it in than teaching our sons how to be men, spending life chasing heaven when it seems all we catch is hell. But my soul is not for sale. See, too many brothers lost in a capsule spinning out of control, scared to tackle the world, but we blitzed the block selling rocks to sold out pawns. So we whisper dreams calls. I'm sorry. We whisper dreams because anything over a decibel shatters aspiration. See, we are preconditioned not to make a sound. But I'm black and I'm proud and I'll say it loud because I'm a true black star. Sun to a black moon, seed of the sun. I'm a black phoenix risen from the slums. I am the truth of a culture born from kings and queens. I am the energy that breathes through all things. I am a true black star.
Woo, yes, my dear. I want to make more noise, but I didn't want to try y'all. Yes, my
sorry,
youth.
I had a couple, you know, had a couple mishaps in there, but, you know, it's been a long time for me.
No, man, the passion, you can feel it, you hear it. Yeah, hear it. My boy said, I'm a black phoenix and me a rise. Yes, my dear. Spread them wings. Tell them to get the hell out of your way. Yeah, no, that's a wicked. See,
that's
I love.
That's what I'm talking about.
You see what I'm saying? And that's the kind of thing. And we are not teaching our youth. You always speak to that. And
that's
I'm
right.
So excited next week.
I cannot wait for next
down,
week.
Oh, my God. We are going to have a conversation because you all are listening tonight. This is a young man who the universe has caused us to cross paths. That's how me believe. Me, I don't believe in the seed that is a coincidence. It is a purpose and it has reason. And we are just going to light it up. So y'all have to make sure you tune in next Thursday. Black will be with us the entirety of the show. And we are going to touch on all manner of things. No bars, no limitations. We're just going to keep it 100 and raw. Uh-oh.
Oh, you know it. It's going to be real talk next week. We're going to get it in.
Yes, I do. All right, baby. Go on back
Thank
to
you.
Have a day, easy vibes. I love you. Thank you so much for sharing.
Love you.
And
you keep doing what you're doing,
weekend.
Baby.
All right, baby boy.
All
right. Take care now. Easy.
Bye-bye.
Boy, I saw me love my life, man. I love the people that the universe puts into my vibration. We are that was serious, man. Black Star, I am looking forward to next week. And when we will have him on the show, we are just going to break down all of the things that are going on in and around us. Now, earlier in the day, I did promise a debut of a studio mix. We are still refining it. I was featured with a dear friend of mine who is a true throwback to the 60s. He is an acoustical guitar player, very passionate about what he did and what he does. He was with a band some time ago, and now he is doing something solo. And we put together a piece that ironically is very apropos, and when it does drop, we'll make sure that each and every one of you know. But this is entitled Lawama Imchezo, translation, The Blame Game, by my dear friend Jack Adier and myself. Here is just a sample.
It down, and no one believed him, not now, not then. Instead, they believe in religious zealots who specialize in committing social sin. Here it is, 2010, well into the 21st century. So much has changed, yet so much remains the same. Crying, weeping, screaming for justice, honesty, compassion, and humanity from the well-dressed elite who profit big time from global insanity. Wakatagani and Wisho, when does it end? A plethora of new ideas and applications, one dream, now reality. Yet the mentality seems to be all about the us and the them. No obvious war, but all they focus on is the win. Are they blind? Do they feel? Can they hear the crying, the weeping, the screaming for justice, honesty, compassion, and humanity? Wakatagani and Wisho, when does it end? Affairs. If you're not wise, we'll think you don't care. Righteous indignation, raised eyebrows, wagging fingers, hateful whispers, devious machinations. No answers, instead an extended invitation to a worldwide event. Free admission, front row seats, and as a precaution, check your intelligence. These bad actors fought hard and paid dearly for their 15 minutes of fame. So without further ado, one and all, welcome to the blame game. Lawama Imchezo.
All right, that's just to give you a little bit of a taste of what's going on. Hopefully we'll be dropping that and making it available to everyone. More than likely somewhere near the end of summer, but I wanted to share that with you all. An amazing talent, and it was a lot of fun. We still have to go back into the studio, tweak a couple of things, and then we will make it available to you all out there. This next one, everyone has done something quite personal, and I've kind of stayed in a few different areas except for No Justice, No Peace, and that is a very personal piece to me. However, this is one that I did for my daddy. My daddy, I was certain he walked on water, so you know what that meant. But he is the individual who is responsible for the woman that I am today. And we'll leave it at that. AM, a ringing phone, a voice filled with sorrow, a dial tone. Shortness of breath, disbelief, tears, relief, anger, fear, bewilderment, no heartbeat, silence. Can't feel my legs, can't feel my feet. A tiny voice, Mommy, what's wrong? Small hands, quiet voice, baby girl, grandpa is gone. A child's hug, silent rocking, big brown eyes, concerned, confused. Don't worry about grandpa, baby, he's alright. A turn, a smile, a kiss. Mommy, I'm worried about you. No support. Dysfunction, bad blood, family feud. No notice, no wake, no funeral, no final goodbye. Not for me. Hurt feelings, emotional paralysis, inconsolable pain. Weekly therapy, divorce, new love, blind eyes, a lifetime. 14 years, still missed. Still cry, no therapy, no history, time passing, healing, a father, a protector, a hero, a mentor, confidant and friend, daddy's girl, bloodshot eyes, red nose, pride, silly smile, wicked style, pouting lips, spoiled brat, lonely orphan. Again.
Deja vu. You don't remember you lived it until you are reliving it. Or was it just something you saw but forgot? Or did you look into the future and peek at fate, only to forget? And when you remember, it's always 10 seconds too late.
Well, I recognize this number anywhere. What's happening, boss? Everybody, give some love at LDC Management. How's it going, Papa?
Woo! That's right. Listen. You already know how that track at that moment gets, and I can tell you it does nothing but each and every time put goosebumps on my arms, and it literally plugs at the heart. Of course, I don't have a poem to share per se. I just wanted to call in and personally thank you for this night. I want to thank PD Radio for coming in, Tammy, right. Miss PD, Black. I absolutely yes. love them for showing so much support, and I couldn't ask for better networking business partners out in the world.
Exactly.
So I just want to truly, truly thank them, and I thank you for this night. I learned a lot. Jill Scott Heron, oh, my God. That man right there, Jill Scott Heron. Woo!
Yes, my dear. I want everybody, go look him up, boy. He's got some serious things to say, and we can use them right now. Built the foundation. It's just a shame that we haven't moved much further than we should have. Oh, I see the fireworks going off through my window, y'all. So go on and enjoy the rest of your evening, my dears. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. And don't forget, we will be back next Thursday with Black, the beat therapist.
Black.
We're going to break it down and hang out the whole show and talk about just about everything. All right? All right, boss man. I love you, man. Enjoy the rest of your evening, huh?
Love ya. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Conversations with Cleo live Thursday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Thank you for sharing your evening with me, and I hope to see you back here next week. Visit me at conversationswithcleo.com or hail me up on Twitter at @RealMissCleo. And remember, 50% of the people aren't gonna like you. So spend all your time, your heart, and your energy on the 50% that do. Peace. Blow that horn, boss.